Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 16. We are going to read verses 6 through 15. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Mark from La Center, Washington.
We are now, in what we're reading, we are in the transition has just been made from focusing on the Jews to focusing on the Gentiles. The first half of Acts is primarily to the Jewish people, and now it is primarily to the Gentiles. It's a big focus now in there. Not totally, nothing is total, but it's focusing more on the Gentiles.
This song's, I believe, in Proverbs 3. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And if I stand fast in the word of the Lord, I will be with him at last, at last, at last. The commandment is the lamp, the law is the light, the reproofs of instruction are the way to life. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And if I stand fast in the word of the Lord, I will be with him at last, at last, at last.
So you can see the Old Testament is still here with us, but in the light of God's commandments, which Jesus strengthened. It's interesting, he's right off the bat in the book of Matthew, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 5 a lot, the commandments, and Exodus chapter 20. They're both talking about the Ten Commandments, and then other parts of the law are being quoted a lot, and Jesus is not annulling them. He is showing them that they actually pertain to the heart. It begins in the heart, and it should emanate then to your mind and to your flesh. So we are in Acts chapter 15, and we are now in verse 36 to the end of the chapter 15, 41.
And after some days, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are. And Barnabas was minded to take with them John, also called Mark. But Paul thought not good to take with them him who withdrew from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And a sharp contention arose, so that they parted from one another, and Barnabas took Mark along and sailed away into Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and went forth, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches.
So here these guys got along so beautifully, and we have a bit of a spat here between Paul and Barnabas. And John Mark, it's my understanding he's the one that wrote the book of Mark. And it seems like, what? That's what I've read. So I will say, because I don't know that for a fact, I haven't personally researched it, but it sounds reasonable to me. But if somebody has any other information on that, I'm all ears. And watch, somebody's going to go look that up. If they hear this, they'll get back to me. Maybe Dan Contreras will help us
maybe
out on that
will.
One, Andy.
Maybe Dan will help.
You know, there's several hundred of us, and we've been doing this for 50 years. It seems like somebody always steps to the plate and seems to figure out all these things. So it's wonderful to have all these researchers in our midst that like to go dig things up and see what, you know, what comes up. And I like to hear their conclusions. This did not come from one person. What we teach are conclusions that we have rendered, you know, like it's kind of like those judgments and the way you saw it. And actually, we have practiced it pretty much the way Paul and Barnabas and then Peter's involved and James is involved and the whole church is involved. Believe it or not, we have done that because there's another principle that says all the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. You take a teaching to seven different groups and you ask the group that where you start with it, please don't discuss this with any other groups. And you take it there and see what they have to say. And then if you need to make changes that are right and that are truth, you make those changes right there. Then you bring it to the next group and let them have at it independently. And so people aren't talking amongst themselves, but to really try to keep it as pure as you can. And then the next group gets a hold of it and helps you refine it. And you make the changes. This is what the gentleman did who started us. He would take it to seven different groups. This has always been our case, that we bring up something like a new teaching, like the DX and the RX started this way, that shows the how man was formed, that he has spirit, soul, and body. And when the man fell and got into sin, you find the spirit lusting against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. And you find out the warfare is in the mind. And there's a whole bunch of things that you find out, but that's what the DX and the RX, and in other words, when a person gets into sin, DX is the diagnosis and RX is the cure, the vitamins or whatever that it takes to fix that problem. And then the true fast, the fasting comes along in chapters 3 and 4 of the Three Rest book, and that is how we rest in the Lord. And then finally, well, chapter 4, then it goes into the laws, the three. There's New Testament laws. There's the law of faith in Romans 3, I think 23. There's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death. And there's the mature law of liberty in James. And the other one, the law of the spirit of life, is Romans 8, 1 through 11, I think. And then James chapter 1 is the mature law of liberty. These are the laws, not the Mosaic law, except I'll say this, whatever pertains to like shub, the return to God, is the Old Testament version of repentance. Boy, I still think that is even clearer today. I like that. And there's one scripture that says, repent and return. Change your mind and come back. And the return is up. We fell, which means we're down, and we're going down further as time goes on. I mean, do you think civilization is improving? Or because evolutionists tell you it's always going to get better as time goes, right? Are we seeing evolution or are we seeing devolution, you know, destruction derby?
Destruction.
Do you vote for devolution, huh, Mark?
Yes.
I would agree.
Devolution.
We are going down, and I think today a little faster. Our time is shortening, and things are going quicker. Wait till we get into revolution. When we get into revelation, which means unveiling, apokalypsis, away and the veil taken away, wait till we get to look again, because we haven't visited Revelation. I have to slow down there, you know, so I don't say it wrong again. When we look at that, we're going to see that I think we're going faster than ever as control, those six, the seven seals, control, peace taken from the earth, food expensive, things going berserk. And then the fourth one is a quarter of the earth killed by sword, famine, plague, and beasts. That's the first, second, and third, and fourth seals. It starts in Revelation chapter 6, 1 through whatever it is. Each seal is like two-verse descriptor on each one. So 1, 2, then 3, 4, then 5, 6, and so on. You'll see those if you want to look at those, Revelation 6. So are we just going to start here in Revelation 16, 1, or Revelation? Here I go again. Acts. The book of practices. This is, the word Acts is praxis. It's the practices of the Holy Spirit. I'll bet you I woke you up when I said that other word, didn't I? This is the book of practices of the Holy Spirit living in men. And I almost did it again. Acts 16, 1 through 4, please.
And he came also to Derbe and to Lystra. And lo, a certain disciple was there, Timothy by name, a son of a Jewish woman that believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well reported of by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those parts, for all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they were proceeding through the cities, they delivered them for keeping the decrees ordained by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem.
Now, what did you see in there that kind of stuck out at you? It's the subjects we've already talked about, but maybe something else happening with them. What did you see?
That Paul had Timothy circumcised. That stood out to me.
And yet, that other thing happened just a couple chapters ago.
Yeah, well, and this adds a reasoning, because of the Jews that were in those parts, for all knew that his father was a Greek. So there's a reasoning behind this.
So there's some people are still stuck on this circumcision being a physical outward sign with males only, with the true New Testament circumcision, which is of the heart, according to the Spirit. And men and women are all circumcised. There's no distinction by race, gender, it's gone. And the Jews and the Greek, it shows the race thing is done, and they talk about it too much on TV. If you are a true believer, race means nothing to distinguish, like one's not better than the other, all equal, and male or female, we're not to distinguish. We've gotten over that one, right? Well, we try to. Most of us, some of us, not all of us, apparently, you know, in this world. And they're Lystra and Iconium. So we're still going to be dealing with the Jews because they're going to be coming in and out.
Now, these Jews apparently didn't give Paul a problem because Paul was a Jew. And here he has someone that was a Gentile with him. And he was catching problems because he knew that they were going to perhaps pick at him. Why are you going around with this Gentile?
Well, he's mixed. This is a mixed marriage. This is a Jew and a Gentile.
He goes, no. So he had him circumcised.
To them, it was mixed. But it wasn't. Those in the New Testament, it's not mixed.
No.
They're making a big deal
over
nothing.
He took care of that problem. That he could have had a problem right there. Yeah, that's why he did it.
Because men share the same bathroom, and he didn't want to have stoned in the bathroom or whatever. You know, he just...
Yeah, this was... Yeah, that is an interesting point.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's still a problem
It sticks up at people, but Timothy really did this. I mean...
So now here, look at this one verse. Context is next. What does that say?
So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. No problems.
No problems. So sometimes you have to, until people are ready to understand that next thing, sometimes you got to run ahead a little bit and notice, okay, these people are hung up here or there. So when you go into a new area, you're going to do a lot of listening. a lot of listening and find out where people stand, and you can avoid certain things by certain, maybe, okay, this is, means nothing, but I'll do it for them so it doesn't hurt their faith.
Now, didn't Paul say, I will be all things to all men?
That's
the point, that I may win.
Keep going.
That I may win.
No.
What?
I'm all things to all men that some might be saved.
I think
that's what it says, doesn't it?
And then he makes the thing, some. To the weak, I'm going to become weak. To the Jewish, Timothy's going to become Jewish.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And after the day, maybe it was when Jesus died on the cross, for sure was made on the day of Pentecost, no race difference, no gender difference.
Right.
And what are both sides in politics today in America fighting over? Those two things. Everybody needs to be quiet, really. You know what? The more you talk about it, the more it divides. Mm-hmm. The bigger the issue when it's already solved. They're fighting over nothing. I'm out of that one. I'm out of it. What do you guys think about that? It's a non-issue.
Yeah, I never liked talking about that because you could divide a conversation with somebody very quickly instead of looking at the big picture of their salvation. So I agree.
It was done.
Yeah.
You're taking a shovel, you buried the cat 5 months ago. Well, there was a guy, we have this expression in the fellowship. I'm going to tell you a true story, and this is a scientific story, and you guys need to listen carefully to this. And what do you do in science? I loved chemistry, and I loved lab, because lab, you got to play. You got to put things together, and maybe even a few things you shouldn't. You know, you'd extend the experiment because it's purely scientific, right? So a guy I knew, true story, he decides to play, what do you call, autopsy. He decides to play, and what's the guy that does autopsies? What are they called?
Examiner.
Medical examiner.
Medical examiner, and they examine autopsies. And what they do, they have farms where they put, and they use actual people's bodies, their corpses, and they plant them, and they record every day what types of maggots, you know, worms, bacterium, the degree of decomposure, and so on. And Andy doesn't want that job. I can tell by the look on his face. And we just had lunch, and I think we're having a problem here. Andy's not liking this. So anyway, sorry, Andy.
That's
right. You want to leave? No, are you all right?
I'm good.
Okay. Bear with me for a little bit, Andy. Anyway, so this friend of mine, he buries his cat, and he looks at it every so many days to see what the decomposition, what things happen, and he makes little notes to himself, probably in his mind. And, I got to tell you, what he did, instead of putting in a grave marker, he just left the tail sticking up. So he come back and, you know, in a day or two and pull it up by the tail and look at it and put it back in the ground. And he did that until one day. I mean, that cat was changing. Different things were going on until one day he pulled it up by the tail and the tail came off. And that ended the experiment, I guess. So this is the expression that we use. Don't dig up the old dead pussycat. In other words, forgive, forget, do not even dig it up again. So, you have a visual now?
I got it.
How about you, Mark?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
Got it.
It's funny, the people we... I was not that person, and you actually, that person is no longer fellowships that I know of. I mean, he might have passed away or whatever. It's 50-some years ago that I knew him. But that's the way people were, you know, they wanted to know. So, but that's really a good visual to have. That's what it looks like. It looks like junk, and why dig it up again? So as a result of this, of them foreseeing that going into a new area, the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. And we found, how many of those were in here, like 18 or something like that?
We had 16, and here we 16. Got another one now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, we do. This is number 16. How about verses 6 through 15?
And they went through Phrygia and Galatia region, having been hindered by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and coming over against Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. In passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul at night. A certain Macedonian man was standing and beseeching him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, straightway we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. And setting sail therefore from Troas, we made a straight course to Samothrace, and the day following to Neapolis, and thence to Philippi, which is a city of Macedonia, first of the district, a colony. And we were in this city tarrying certain days, and on the day of the Sabbaths we went forth without the gate by a river, where we supposed a prayer place, and we sat down and spoke to the women that were come together. And a certain woman, Lydia by name, a purple seller of Thyatira city, one that worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed to the things spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized, and her house, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide." And she constrained us.
I actually made a mistake, and the first context is 6 through 10, and then 11 and 12. And then 12, that's 12A and 12B to 15 is the next context. But I liked reading, actually, I like reading that whole part that we did. Straightway is in here, and he had seen in a vision, and straightway we sought to go to Macedonia. And setting sail, they went from Troas. So they're going to all these different places. But did you notice what happened in the first couple of verses?
Yeah. He says, hindered by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and coming over against Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not.
Now, one is the Holy Spirit and the other the Spirit of Jesus. Isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh.
And he's got this look on his face, this inquisitive look.
Yeah, that's...
Well, they're one in the same, but it actually
divided it.
But it actually is the Spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus is involved and the Holy Spirit is involved, but they're one in the same.
Mm-hmm.
That made you guys quiet.
Well, it's another place too, because there's another one that actually says all three of them.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of places that talks about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was another collection. I love to make those collections where you see present all in one, but yet it gives them different names, but it doesn't ever call it the Trinity.
Mm.
But sometimes it talks about Yahweh, and it's talking about all three of them, and then sometimes it distinguishes them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Try to figure all that out. Some things we're going to have to keep watching for years, really, to figure. What do you think about that, Mark? Are you still figuring that out?
Yeah, I was marking it that it's done both ways there.
Yeah, and what did you think? What was your first reaction to that?
I guess why?
My first reaction was that God doesn't want you to speak at some places, and he'll tell you, and you should listen.
Well, that's the purpose.
That's the big deal right now.
But
I mean, I was on the top of it.
But I wonder if that's the two witness being,
oh,
you just given me what you said. That's my conclusion to this, is the two are in one, and you're getting both the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus. Isn't that interesting?
It's well, he's showing you who's working with
you. He stopped it.
Because that's true.
Yeah.
You have Jesus and the Holy Spirit that are working with
in conjunction.
The believers. Yes.
Yeah. They're one, but they show themselves separate angles, as best as we can describe that, and they stopped it.
Well, this is hindered, and this is not.
Yeah.
Well, so those are two.
Didn't allow it. Yes, and it gets stronger with the
it's
two.
Like, no.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is a difference there. Hindered, but then suffered them not. That's a stop.
Now, how many of you ever seen that before?
No.
We not only learn every time we do this, but we learn every time there's different areas that we're constantly peeling back different layers. So far, 50-some years reading the Bible, so far, 50-some layers, and they don't change it. You get a little bit more depth, don't you? More questions are answered, a little bit more detail, a little bit more focus, a little bit more different angles.
Well, it's interesting, too, if they were to have gone in any of those other directions, then instead of going down to Troas, then Paul has this vision. And so, and then that's where they...
Macedonia guy showed up.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You could waste a lot of time if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus. You will waste a lot of time. You could be in totally the wrong place. You could miss an opportunity for somebody's salvation.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to tell you and lead you where to go. Again, the giant picture.
Now, what's interesting, so he's going to lead you, and he leads you to a very important person named Lydia, a purple seller. Now, we didn't notice this before, but a lady noticed, and it's Mary Hill, and she told us that certain people were like Lydia. And Lydia was a person that when she came to the Lord, she brought many other people with her, that she gathered. She was a gatherer of people. And people in the churches, they try to find some good-looking guy that the women would desire, or a good-looking woman that the men would desire, that would be a calling card. This is different. This is a mother-type person, like a mother hen who gathers, like there's a scripture, like a mother hen who gathers her chicks under her wing. And this is what I see with Lydia. She's a type of person that would gather people to her. And we have run out of time again. So until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."